So, next case for argument is Gonzalez v. City of Elgin. Ms. Lobey-Reyes.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Deborah Lobey-Reyes from Lobey & Lobey on behalf of the plaintiff appellants. This case involves a group of friends and family members who one night were beaten by Elgin police officers. By the time the night was over, one plaintiff had been to the hospital, plaintiffs had been punched, kicked, and pepper sprayed, and all of the plaintiffs had been arrested, though they had done nothing wrong. Now, this is a case with a lot of evidence presented in support of the claims, and the district court ignored that evidence to grant summary judgment.
Did the district judge watch the videotape? Do we know?
I think we have to assume that. The defendants argued in their summary judgment motion that the videotape supported summary judgment. The district court issued an opinion and declined to use those videos, which I think can only lead us to presume that the district court did not feel that the videotape supported summary judgment.
Well, he just doesn't mention one way or the other, does he?
That's correct, but I think it's a fair assumption that the court would have read the briefs, would have read the arguments of counsel. It was part of the record, and I'm not one to assume that the district court would have cut corners or would have not given counsel the respect of having considered all the evidence. The district court used the evidence that it felt supported summary judgment, and in doing so, disregarded all of plaintiff's testimony.
And the videos.
And the videos. That's correct.
As to this video, is there any suggestion that there's evidence of what occurred outside the video? Or, in other words, does the video capture all that you wish to?
A good question. Absolutely not. There's testimony that, well, first of all, you can see on the videotape that the officers frequently will start beating a civilian and then move that civilian outside of the view of the camera, and then you have no view of what continues beyond that. Additionally, there was testimony from various officers involved in the internal affairs investigation that admitted, no, the videotapes do not capture everything that occurred. A lot of the excessive force is captured on the videos. You do see the officers beating some of the civilians, but a lot of the excessive force is beyond the videos. And even the defendants don't argue that the excessive force claims are limited by the videos. Everybody seems to acknowledge that the videos capture a fraction of what occurred, but a very important fraction, because that important fraction defeats the defendants' claims of probable cause. It supports what the plaintiffs are arguing, that there was no probable cause for these arrests.
When does the video start?
The videos all start as officers are driving towards the scene. So each one is a squad car video with a lead in, and you see them kind of turning around the corners, and then their arrival upon the scene.
So just to clarify, you have withdrawn your arguments relating to Jose Gonzalez to the extent those theories rest on probable cause.
That is correct.
Because of his guilty.
That
plea.
Is correct. But all of the other ones.
He has other. What claims survive?
He has an excessive force claim that survives. And he was beaten both after he was handcuffed and on the ground, as well as the lead up to the arrest. Jose has some very strong excessive force claims, including.
How many policemen there were and how many of the, the group, the celebrants or whatever they were?
Well, and that's an important question, because one of the problems with the police reports in this case is that they're sort of all over the place. What we know from the plaintiff's testimony is that by the time the police officers arrived, we have the group of plaintiffs, we have the few people that had been involved in the early attack, the victims of the early attack, the assailants of the early attack had already left. I'm sorry. You also had the restaurant employee and the restaurant owner, but it's a relatively small group of people there.
But you don't know the number.
But the police reports don't capture a number for us.
What about the number of police officers? I think there were three cars. Weren't there three police cars?
There was the fourth car that sort of showed up later, and there were three cars that then showed up, and then each car, there was Pantoja, Schroeder, Neff, Robinson, Pivoris, I believe about a half dozen police officers that were involved in this ultimately.
The individual defendants are all the police officers who were involved?
Correct.
Right.
So what you have with the videotapes is that they actually defeat what the defendants claim happened and what they claim they relied on for probable cause within their deposition, because things that they
particularly
said.
Particularly the one right from the squad car 857.
Yes.
Isn't that the key one?
I think that's a particularly compelling video.
Yeah.
The one where the police officer punched her in the stomach?
Well, you've got the one,
yes.
Where you've got the one where Maribel is simply talking to another officer, and then she gets punched in the stomach. You also have a video where somebody is walking across the street and the officers run across and they deck him. You have the one that the defendants have claimed captures Jose's arrest. And remember, you know, these are all kind of iffy because we don't have the foundation to know exactly, but it seems to be Jose's arrest, where you have people just quietly walking across the street. You don't have any kind of chaotic scene. You don't have any kind of unruly behavior. And you have, all of a sudden, the officers converging and pouncing on Jose and pounding him. So you don't have the things that the defendants claim they relied on for probable cause. You don't have Maria kicking an officer during Tony's arrest, or Jose poking Officer Pantoja, or even the chaotic scene, or any of that. But the really important thing about the videos is the defendants have really conceded that the district court did not give deference to the plaintiff's version of the facts. I mean, that's the way they frame their whole second issue, is that did the district court properly refuse to credit plaintiff's testimony? Well, you have so I think even they have to agree, if you credit plaintiff's testimony, which they were entitled to, you have a clear dispute of fact on all of the claims. On the excessive force, you have a clear dispute of fact, and on the claims reliant on probable cause. They've really gone for broke here by saying the district court was proper in ignoring all of that evidence because of this videotape evidence. Well, they have to then show that the videotape evidence conclusively defeats the plaintiff's testimony. And really, I urge this court to watch the videotapes. It sounds like you already have.
We have.
It sounds like you saw what I saw and what the district court saw and what the state's attorney saw. Remember, the state's attorney testified that these videos undermine probable cause, that they undermine the criminal case. So they're pretty far from – they're pretty supportive of what the plaintiff's testimony is, and very far from what their burden would have to be to show that the district court was proper in disregarding all of the other evidence that was presented in this case. I'd also urge this court to consider that, in addition to the testimony of the plaintiffs and the video, there are also a lot of testimony of sort of side issues of the officer that shows the officers knew that they lacked probable cause. And that was what we alluded to earlier about the police reports all being off, their testimony to the internal affairs investigations being different from what was in their police report. There's a lot of evidence here.
Didn't one of them get fired on that basis?
Correct. Officer McKinley was fired for lying about his use of force against Maribel. There's some very strong evidence here, and there was no basis for disregarding it. I would just conclude by asking this court to consider if it does reverse the district court to assign this to a different judge. I think Judge Deryugin has really weighed in very heavily by choosing to disregard all of plaintiff's testimony.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Lobby-Reyes.
Yeah.
Mr. Deano?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Jim Deano. I represent the defendants in the case. There are a number of facts and inferences that arise from those undisputed facts that we believe show what this event really was. I mean, this is between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. These plaintiffs had been to a wedding. They had been drinking, most of them, and they were on their way to this restaurant bar because one of their friends had been involved in a fight.
Yeah, we know, but, you know, the videotapes are really bad for your case.
Well,
it shows a small group of people. They're not rowdy. They're walking slowly, and the police come charging in.
Well, it captures one glimpse, one
jury could, you know, find that, yeah, they were. But I don't see how it can be decided on summary judgment.
Well, and to put it another way, this case is a far cry from Scott versus Harris. I watched that video too, since the Supreme Court posted it on its website. But this, at the very best for you, you might say maybe a jury might think the police were all right, but then on the other hand, the jury might, I mean, they're pretty awful, actually. You can see Maribel doubling over in pain when she gets whacked with the flashlight or whatever it is. And then you have all the firsthand depositions. And then you also have the activity that's off camera, because the car is obviously parked, the headlights are shining in a particular direction, and you can only see so much. Because, as you say, you can look at the timestamp. It's 4:53, 4:55 a.m.
Well, I think what the district court did was look at the event as a whole. And what you had was police officers...
It doesn't mean anything. Look at the event as a whole. What if, you know, they're... Events in the hole, it's a riot, so on and so forth, but a police officer strangles somebody. You wouldn't say, well, let's look at this as a whole.
Well, nobody got strangled here. What I would suggest
is... Come on, I mean, look, beating up people.
I think the use of force that was used against those who were interfering with the arrests of people
There's
who were
no
told to leave.
And the business with it, Maribel, I guess that's the one who was hit in the stomach. She's not attacking any police officer on the videotape. She goes up to the, you know, back of the paddy wagon, but she's not hitting. He's not hitting anybody. So he turns around and, you know, wrathfully punches her in the stomach. What's going on there? And he's fired for it and so forth.
Well, what he was fired for was...
And that. I mean, it's really pointless.
He was fired because he denied that there was any contact. The contact...
It's hard to punch her in the stomach. It's just you have to admit it.
Well, I look at it, and I don't characterize it as a punch. I characterize it as him pushing her away.
Well, look, what you characterize it is your privilege. And if you were on the jury, you know, you could... That would be fine, I suppose. But I don't see how, on summary judgment, you can make an evaluation of the officer's conduct.
Well, there's another issue to look at, and that's qualified immunity.
No, I don't see that. There's nothing. There are no legal novelties in this case. It's just a question of the facts. You know, was this police brutality or not? There's no legal novelty.
Or whether there's a case that clearly establishes that police officers cannot use force.
Punch people who aren't a threat
at a time at 4 o'clock in the morning when they are out looking.
Look, they're supposed to be. They're trained to deal with these people at early hours. It's not as if you've got a riot and you've got one policeman defending himself.
Well, initially, two police officers arrived. Initially, it was two police officers.
Yeah, but by the time these events,
and this peaceful group of people are walking down the street, that's the problem.
Well, again, if you.
I mean, watching the videotape, that they're just sort of walking along.
Well, I would look at what the district court looked at, and that is the plaintiff's own admissions, that they were there for a fight. They were there because they wanted to find the people.
That's not quite what they said. They said their friend came over from the restaurant to the place and said, we need help, and they got up and went. They didn't say they were going to fight anybody.
Well, they could have called police and said, our friend's been beaten up, rather. They were going there themselves to avenge
that.
That.
Is there a law in Elgin against going to the restaurant yourself if your friend is asking for help?
Well, they were there clearly because they wanted to...
What's the clearly part?
Because if they were simply looking to find the people that roughed up their friend...
We don't know about that.
Well, we know that what people can do when they're faced with that event.
They're walking away, and they hadn't done anything violent, so why were the police...
They hadn't done anything that was shown on that particular video.
Which is why the videos, you have that was an admission from you that you can't base summary judgment on these videos then.
And the plaintiff's own admissions of what they were doing and that they refused to leave when they were told to leave.
I don't see that.
And
in the
that they interfered with the arrests of
I don't see that
other
in
people.
The depositions either.
Well, I can find it where the district court relied on it. The court says that the officers were faced with a chaotic scene in front of the restaurant involving two groups, a fight.
That's one theory, but it doesn't show that on the videotape.
Jose Gonzalez pled guilty to disorderly conduct.
Right, which is a misdemeanor. I mean, the court says a chaotic scene, but there's a dispute of fact about that even. The plaintiffs don't describe it that way. They say whatever had been going on in the restaurant was long since over.
Maribel Gonzalez testified that when... the officers were taking Jose Gonzalez away. She approached them from behind and began asking where they were taking him.
Right, and what's wrong with that? There's a lot of law that says you can talk to police officers.
In a situation where you have people that are there, and, you know...
Do you disagree that it's not a violation of Illinois law to talk to a police officer?
simply to walk up and talk
even
to the police officer,
even to ask him
no.
a question like, why are you arresting my husband? Or
in a situation
like
where they've been told by the owner of the bar to leave, then they've been told by police officers to leave.
They weren't there.
They hadn't left the entire, they were out in front of the bar. And they all they simply had to do was leave.
They were walking away, at least in the videotape. They're walking away before the arrests occur.
Well, again, if you're talking about the video from squad...
you argue the videotape is your conclusive evidence.
Well, it shows that Antonio Franco ran to the area where Jose Gonzalez was being arrested. That's video 857.
You pick little things out of the video. Look, the average person like me looking at that video is not going to think that this is obviously a situation which police have to be hitting and beating and pepper spraying people because it's a dangerous mob of rioters.
Well, when they're there for
incontrovertible video evidence and so on and all this. You rely heavily on this videotapes. You really think that the videotapes warrant summary judgment
on among the plaintiff's admissions and the inferences.
I don't get it.
Have any more questions for me?
Well, Mr. Anna, what's your response to Ms. Lovie Reyes's position that the video is just a fraction and doesn't give the total?
It doesn't. I mean, but what it shows is, well, from three different videos, three points of view of snapshots of this event. Now,
most of the videos are nothing but cars driving down the street and one guy resting against the police wagon who moves his legs every minute or two.
Right. Most of them don't show anyone
who's sensing any urgency. This guy's just kind of standing there leaning up against the paddy wagon. He doesn't look distraught. He doesn't look like, gee, I better run and call for backup. He's not doing anything. He's just standing there.
And I think that's the one at 4:58 or close to 5 in the morning. That's after things are under control.
And so, all I'm saying is the only video really that shows much useful is 8:57, and that isn't very favorable to you. I don't see other videos that would show a level of misbehavior from these people that would justify the actions the police took. Now, maybe this is all about whether they are disputed issues of fact. Maybe a trier of fact would believe the police account of this thing. I'm not expressing an opinion on that, but the video sure doesn't.
8:57 is the one that show Antonio and Maria pushing officers during the arrest of Jose.
We've watched 8:57. If that's the one you're relying on, we can go with that.
So, anything further?
No, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Diano. And Ms. Lovie Reyes, do you have anything further? I think we've heard enough, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you both, counsel. Next case for argument.